Thanks for downloading the South Everett Foursquare podcast. This is Pastor Chris Pepler, and you've joined us for our series on the fruit of the Spirit. This weekend, Ed Harris shares examples from God's Word and his own life about the joys, frustrations, and ultimate fruit that comes from demonstrating patience. You can find us every Sunday morning at the Village on Casino Road, or visit us on our website, southeverett.org. Thanks again for downloading, and enjoy today's podcast.
You didn't want heaven without Just invites us to take our eyes and to take our minds off the lower things of earth and to place them on Him, to seat ourselves on high with Him, that we might find strength for this life down here. I wanna be where you are.
Introduce a friend that some of you know, maybe some of you don't know, my friend Ed Harris and his wife Rachel, who is here with him. He will be speaking today. Rachel will be reading some of the scriptures, but just want to share with you a little bit about his life because it's a compelling life. Ed was born and raised in Poplar Bluff. Anyone want to guess what state that's in? Poplar Bluff. Michigan.
No.
Nope.
Iowa.
Nope.
Arkansas.
Missouri. Poplar Bluff, Missouri, in the southwest part of the state. Is that correct? One thing that we might not know about Ed is from 1982, when I was 2 years old, until 1993, when I was entering into middle school, that was a season of Ed's life where he had the opportunity to pastor three different churches, small churches in the region where he was born and where he was raised, pastored in those communities until 1993. That's when he met and married Lenora, who was his wife for 27 years until she went home to be with Jesus. Ed spent 15 years caring for his ailing bride and got to walk with her all the way home before she went to see the Lord. And in that season of his life, they lived in Wenatchee, Washington for the better part of 17 years. And then 2 years ago, after Lenora passed, Ed moved to Everett and took a seat in a church building he'd never been a part of before and sat right over here and just began singing his guts out. And I appreciate the way that you lead worship from the middle, you know, from the place where you sit. Your heart for Jesus is just so ridiculously compelling. And he cared for his wife and then came in to be a part of this fellowship, and he and I grabbed coffee back in January of 2022, and he was telling me a little bit more about this story. Caregiving is really close to God's heart, and it's about the hardest thing that a human can do for somebody else. And he cared for his wife for 15 years in his illness. And as she was preparing to pass, I mean, she could see the weight and the toll that it had taken on Ed. And what Lenora said to Ed was, "Promise me that you will rediscover the man that I fell in love with, that you will go and find that version of yourself again." And over the last couple of years, Ed has been doing exactly that. The Lord has restored him. He has come into relationship with Rachel back on July 16th of 2022, so about a year and 4 months ago. They were married, and we are so delighted now that not only Ed is a part of our fellowship, but Rachel is a part of our fellowship and brings gifts of song and has had family members come and visit us from Kenya, where she is from. And it's just been really neat to grow in relationship with you. Ed is a minister of the gospel, still a shepherd. He's an evangelist. While he doesn't work within the context of a local church, he works in the community doing Jesus-focused, kingdom-focused things and serves as an employment specialist right here in Everett. And I asked him how he would describe the work that he does. And he says that he gets to shepherd adults who have developmental disabilities as they seek meaning
full employment opportunities. That's what Ed does in his Monday through Friday. And as he gets to know his clients, he gets to know about their gifts and their passions and pairs them with jobs in the community. When we were talking about patience, I thought of Ed, and I thought Ed has lived a patient, enduring life. And it continues to, we can laugh at ourselves when we think all the times that we aren't patient. But what comes out genuinely to the rest of us is that you have been patient, you've been faithful, you've been obedient to the things that God has called you to. And he has spent the last 2 months preparing this meal, this message for us, and his desires that the Lord would have it in its entirety. And so can we just welcome our friend and brother Ed Harris to come. And Rachel's going to come as well to read some of the scriptures today. So the floor is yours, good sir.
Well, give God some praise, church. Hallelujah. When Pastor Chris first asked me to talk on patience, I really laughed. I said, God, man, you got to have a sense of humor. So why me? And I thank Chris for his kind words, because, you know, life can be difficult. I mean, man, life can throw you some curves like the Mariners can never throw, right? Life can throw so many obstacles in your way. Sometimes you don't know where in the world are you taking me? And after Lenora passed, I was in a situation to where I faced homelessness, no job, no direction. And I said, God, I got to have a place to go. And I had made some connections, and someone says, I think you need to go to the west side. I think you need to go near Seattle. I said, hey, wait a minute. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to Seattle. I mean, you can forget it, God. If you're going to take me to Seattle, you might as well take me home, because I ain't driving in that traffic. But you know, God has a way of bringing things our way and pointing direction out to us. And during that time, God taught me incredible patience. I'm going to let my beautiful wife, Rachel, read the scripture that I want her to read to start out with.
My name is Rachel Harris, my husband, Edward Harris. And I would like to read the scripture, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, the results of his presence within us, is love, unselfish, concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Okay, let's read another scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patience. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Is not boastful. Is not arrogant. Honey, go ahead.
Thank you, darling. Now, when we look at this scripture, now, the scripture she read in Galatians was from the Amplified Version. And I like the Amplified Version because sometimes it brings out things that we may not see. And, I like the old versions and everything. When I first started out in the ministry, I started out in the Southern Baptist, and the Southern Baptists, King James 1611 all the way, buddy. If you don't have a King James in your hand, you ain't a preacher. But you know something God taught me? God taught me patience in that, taught me that it doesn't matter what version you read as long as it's God's word. As long as it comes from him, it don't matter, because God has a way of doing things. This morning, first of all, I want to ask you, how many of you have ever asked God to give you patience? I mean, have you? I mean, come on, be honest. I mean, have you ever prayed the patience prayer? You know what the patience prayer is? Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Think about it for a moment. When you ask God for patience, you say, God, I want patience and I want it now. You know, how many of you can distinguish between a microwave and an oven? Yeah. You know, sometimes we think of patience. I sometimes think of patience as a microwave. I want to stick it in there. I want to stick that request in there. I want to stick everything else. Say, God, when that bell rings, bless God, it's done. But guess what? Sometimes it don't happen that way. Sometimes God puts us in an oven. And sometimes we get turned up to 300 to 400 degrees, and we have to wait. We have to wait. And sometimes when we're waiting, we smell that stuff beginning to simmer, and stuff beginning to cook, and stuff beginning to boil, and stuff beginning to happen. And we know that God has a reason for our waiting. God has a reason for our waiting. I remember a story that I read one time of a young minister that went to a pastor. And he said, Pastor, I want you to pray to God to give me patience. And the pastor looked at him and says, okay. He said, Lord, give this man trials. Give this man tribulations. And give God and seasons of trouble. The young minister became quite upset and distraught at the pastor and said, wait a minute. I did not ask you to pray for troubles, tribulations, trials, torment. He said, but son, you will not be able to have patience unless you know how to endure sufferings, trials, tribulations, unless you have the ability to wait, you will never have patience. Think about it. Patience. I would define patience as the capability to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or sufferings without getting angry or upset at God. Also, patience is essentially waiting with grace. You know, God has incredible patience with us. In my life as a young boy, I had a temper like a wildcat. I'm going to tell you this. I had a very, very, very wild and mean temper. And a fellow pastor, one of my mentors growing up, who went on to be with the Lord, says, Ed, I'm going to pray that God calls you to preach. I said, why? He said, because with what you got going on, the things that you have to endure, the things that you go through even as a young kid, he says, I know that if you allow God to use you, you can do amazing things. So he began to pray that God would call me to preach. I didn't really like that idea, but he did. But I want to talk to you just a few moments, but I want to give you just a couple examples of some biblical characters that we all know of. I'm not going to go into a long story, but number one, we all know Job. We all know that Job suffered insurmountable patience. All the suffering that Job endured, even when God allowed Satan to attack his body with boils and sores, and he kept sitting there. Guess what? Job never gave up on God. Even Job's wife said, hey, you ought to just curse God and die. Job just shook it off. He talked to her and he never gave up. He endured the course. Another one is Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied to the nation of Judah for 40 years and nobody listened. They still did their own thing. I don't know, some of you may know that Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because he cried over his people. And I can share an example. When I was pastoring a church, my very first church I pastored, I had an incredible burden for this town. And one night, my mother came and picked me up and took me home for the night. And it was going to feed me dinner, and I was crying on the way home after service at night. She said, why are you crying? What's the matter? I said, Mom, they're not listening. I feel like everything I'm saying is bouncing on the wall and bouncing back at me. Why aren't they listening? And she said, how do you know they're not listening? I said, I just feel it in my spirit. And she told me, she says, well, Do you believe God puts you there? I said, yes. He said, do you believe that the message you're speaking to them is what God gave you to give to them? I said, yes. And she said, well, don't worry about whether they repent or not. Just give them what God give you and wait on him to do what he needs to do. And I'm not comparing myself to Jeremiah, but I know what it's like to weep over people. I know what it's like to weep over people and want them to come to know Jesus. I know what it's like to have a burden for somebody so much that it just aches inside your heart. You know that you know there's something there. You know that there's something inside of them that had not yet come out. And you want to see that come out of them.
Come on.
And Pastor Chris talked about my job. I have people that I support. They come in for meetings with me every week. And I talk to them. And they feel like they want to give up. I had one the other day says, I'll never find a job. I can't do nothing. He said, all the other job coaches have given up on me. They don't want to mess with me. They'd say, there's nothing I can do. They can do for me. I said, but guess what? When I was giving you to be on my caseload, I thought about all this. And I told God, I said, God, I can't give up on this person. I can't give up on this person because, God, you never gave up on me. So I can't give up on that person. And so we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're exploring different options. And I told the guy, I said, I will not leave this company and take another job until I find you one. When I had my performance evaluation at work, my employer said, what's one goal that you want to reach for the next year? I said, I want to find that man a job. Mm-hmm. I was able to find four or five other people jobs. I want to find him a job because this guy faces insurmountable obstacles and limitations that keep him from doing certain things. But I said, I know there's something within that man and he can find a job. And see, that's the same thing with God. God doesn't give up on us because he knows there's something inside of us that has yet came out. He knows. Look at Moses. Moses was 80 years old. Can you imagine an 80-year-old man being told, hey, I'm going to use you. And Moses said, hey, wait a minute. I can't even hardly speak. I don't have eloquent speech. And he said, all right, then I'll use this guy over here. He said, but wait a minute, God. When Moses had knew that there might be somebody else being taken to reins, Moses said, okay, God, I'll do it. Moses was with the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. Even with all their rebellion, even with all their not listening, even them doing their own thing, them leaving God and building a golden calf and doing all this other stuff, God never gave up on them and Moses never gave up on them. Even though Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, he led them right to the brink, the promised land. He never gave up. How about Jesus? Jesus demonstrated incredible patience. Imagine being brought before a council and tried, a mock trial, and he already knew that the odds were stacked against him because he knew that those people wanted him dead. Jesus never gave up. He never raised his voice. He never challenged them. He endured what he had to endure. Jesus had patience with us. And I want to talk for just a few moments about some examples in my life that I've had to wait. In 2004, I had a debilitating disease. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in my body. I could not walk. I was walking with crutches. I could not even hold a styrofoam cup in my hand. My hands had gnarled up like this, both of my hands. In fact, it would hurt me so much to hold on to this microphone that I would literally cry tears, shed tears because it would hurt so much. But you know something? God had a plan. And I want to share something with you, and this is not boasting, but this is God.
Yeah.
This is God when I share this story with you. I was a music minister in a church in Missouri. I would play the keyboard. In fact, the two gentlemen in the church would have to come and get me out of the car, literally almost carry me inside the church, set me down at the keyboard, and I would play. One night, a gentleman came to the church. His name was Brother Huff. He came to the church, and he didn't know me from Adam. He didn't know who I was. But he was there, and he says, "You, come here." And my pastor knew I couldn't walk, hardly walk, so he had two guys come and get me. He said, "Bring him down front." He brought me down front. He said, "Hold out your hands." I held out my hands. My hands were doing this, literally shaking. He said, I want to give you a word God gave me. God has anointed you to play music. You have a David psalmist spirit within you. He says, right now, you are enduring tormenting, debilitating disease, but God is going to heal you. One day, God is going to heal you, and you will move those hands. He says, straighten your hands out. And I started straightening my hands. He says, come on, you can do it. And I started straightening, and they would literally shake. So he took my hand, and he straightened them out. He said, one day, your hands are going to be just like this. He said, you're not going. He said, you may not know it, but it's going to happen. He said, but let me tell you this. In the process of this healing taking place in your body, you are going to have to wait. And I was crying. He said, you are going to play music, and while you're playing music, the anointing of God is going to be on you so strong, you will not feel any pain. He said, when you preach, he said, God called you to preach, hasn't he? I said, yes. He said, you better preach because God wants you to preach, and God's going to lay his hand on you. When you're preaching, you will not feel no pain. In fact, when you stand up to preach, you will not have to have your crutches anymore. You will preach without crutches. He said, but guess what? He said, I have some news for you. God wants to grow you up. God wants to build character inside of you. So he's going to take you through a process in this healing. Eventually, you're going to be healed. You'll go home at night and you will ache and you will have pain. And you will seek God and ask God to take that pain away. That pain will come for a reason, for a season, and it'll go away and it'll come back. He said, but eventually, God is going to remove all the pain from your body. He says, but you are going to have to wait on him. He said, and he asked me, are you a very patient person? I said, no. He said, well, guess what? You're going to learn patience. Another area that I had to learn patience, and Pastor Chris brought it out, and I won't go into a long story, but while my first wife and I were married, my wife endured lots of illness, and I had to have patience, and I had to learn to have patience. You know, when you take a wedding vow, you better take it serious. Because when you say for better, for worse, and in sickness and in health, I guarantee you that in sickness part's there. There for a reason. Because sometimes you're going to have to endure and have patience for somebody else who can't have patience for themselves. As God walked me through many of these trials, tribulations, God kept placing into my spirit that he hasn't stopped loving me. He had never given up on me. I was in an adult family home. My wife and I were in an adult family home, Lenora. When she passed, guess what? I didn't need to be there no more. They gave me a note. You got to move out. You got to find a place to live. Guess what? I had no job, no income, and I had to be out. So I began to pray. God, what do you have in mind? Began to pray. And you know, you have to, sometimes God gives you wisdom. You can't just pray, God, give this to me now, and there not be steps that you have to take in order to get this done. In other words, I had to start applying for jobs. I couldn't just sit on the couch and watch television all day long, even if it was preaching, and say, God, give me a job. God gave me wisdom to start applying for jobs. I had to revamp my resume. I took classes and done all that stuff to try to get myself professional enough to where I have a good resume. And then I started sending out. I asked God, God, give me wisdom. Where do you want me to go? And then somebody that I met and knew on Facebook said, well, you need to go to the west side. That's how I told you I don't want to drive in Seattle. They said, you know what? There's all kinds of jobs. And I've always enjoyed working with people that don't think a lot of themselves. I've always enjoyed trying to encourage people to think more of themselves than what they do. Not to be arrogant or boastful, but at the same time, know that they have things within them and they have capabilities. Sometimes we as Christians, we don't think we have the ability to stand. Sometimes we think, oh God, I'm fixing to give up. But God says, you know, there's more to you than what you're letting on. I've put more within you. I put that sustaining power within you to endure trials. I put that sustaining tribulation. I put that in you to wait. I don't like it waiting any more than anyone else does. But I know it's a process. God in his infinite wisdom, grace, and mercy had a different plan in mind. He has a plan in mind for your life. Whatever you're enduring right now, whatever you're facing, whatever things. And I know, you can't be in a room this size and there not be somebody here that needs some direction from God. I mean, hey, if you got it all together, please show me, because I want to know how you got it. I mean, even as pastors, when I think of pastor appreciation, I think of the things that pastors endure. You know, pastors give out a lot. And they take it, but you know what? Pastors take in a lot too. Because when you've got, say you've got 50 people coming to you at every direction with a problem, with a trial, with a tribulation, and say, Pastor, I need answers. Pastor, I need answers. They have to have patience to listen to God and wait on God and not give them a direct word, but wait on God for God to give them the word that he needs to give to you. You know, sometimes the best wisdom that a pastor can give you is pray, seek God, and let God show you the direction you're supposed to go. Whatever it is. And through all the things that I've been through, all the trials that I've been through, God teaching me to wait, I asked God, I said, God, you know your word said it's not good for man to be alone. And God, so I began to ask God to bring me a helpmate. And I asked God to bring someone into my life that would compliment me and I would compliment them. I wanted a partner that would be a soulmate and a partner in the ministry, not someone that sits out there and doesn't want to be up here with me spreading the word. That's why God brought this beautiful, beautiful lady into my life. My beautiful Rachel tells me often, Eddie, you have to trust in God. You have to have faith in God. And she has told me that I need to have more patience. And she said lots of times. But you know something? God demonstrates patience with us. God is patient with us while waiting for us to come to him. Think about the life before you were a Christian. Somehow God had a waiting for you. He never gave up on you. I had an uncle that, I don't know if this is correct vernacular or not, but he would mean his sin. I mean, this dude was so mean, you would think, man, I don't want nobody to be around him. And I went to church and I kept praying, Uncle Joe, I want you to become a Christian. No, don't worry about that church stuff. I don't do it. And I went away to college. And I came home from college. And somebody said, hey, oh, my mom said, Eddie, Joe became a Christian. I said, no, he didn't. No, not Joe. No. But guess what? My Uncle Joe became a Christian, gave his life to God. Started going to the Assemblies of God church. In fact, the church he went to is where I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As a young pastor, as a pastor in the Baptist church. I went to his church. I didn't believe in it. I didn't want no part of that stuff. I thought, man, all those tongue talkers are going to hell. I mean, you guys are out of here. And then when I asked God, my Uncle Joe took me to church. I asked God, I said, God, either it's real or it's not. If it's real, I want it. If it's not, shut them up. And so God gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God was patient with my Uncle Joe. Through everything that my Uncle Joe went through, God saved him, miraculously saved him. And through my Uncle Joe, a lot of people in the church that he went to became Christians. He would tell people about Jesus. He was a construction worker, big, tall, burly man. Dude, he would tell people about Jesus. He would even tell people about Jesus on the job, and he would cry when you're telling people about how he gave his life to Jesus. God has so much grace and mercy and love for us. Can you imagine the love that God has for you? Does it even make sense at all, the type of love that God has for us? I'm not saying we're bad, but without God, guess what? Ain't none of us worthy of God's love. But because God loves us, because of God's mercy, he has patience with us. He puts up with us. He puts up with us when others don't want to put up with us. God listens to our ramblings and our rantings and our raving. God says, okay, God just sits back with a listening ear and says, okay, when you're done rambling and raving and you shut up, I'll talk to you. When you're done talking, I'll talk. Pastor Chris asked me when I was putting this together, where is God waiting for us to practice patience? He wants us to practice patience, number one, in our prayer life. Like I say, sometimes we feel like, sometimes we want instant answers. We want instant results, but guess what? Sometimes instant results is not what we need. Because God has a season for us. God has a reason for us. I don't know about you, but sometimes I enjoy allowing God to just say, okay, if you'll just slow down, if you will stop, you'll be humble enough to just to wait. I'll tell you what I want you to do. In August of 2021, I received a phone call from this side over here from a place called Sunrise Services. Director says, Ed, I want to have a Zoom meeting with you. I want to interview you. The next day, he calls me on the phone and says, Ed, we want to offer you a job. He said, how soon can you get to Everett? I said, well, to be honest with you, I don't even have a place to live over there. So we kept talking. I would be looking, talking, looking, and talking. And finally, middle of September, he called me back and says, Ed, have you found a place to live yet? I said, yes, but it's going to take me a couple more weeks to get over here. And he said, I don't want to sound like a commercial. He said, but we're going to be like Motel 6. We're going to leave the light on for you. He said, because I have a job for you, and I want you in our place. So God made a way through the waiting. God said that we can wait with patience in worship. One thing I like to do when I get things going that I have questions about, I like to spend time in worship. I have a keyboard at home. I get on my keyboard. I play my keyboard. I have a guitar. I'll play my guitar, or I'll play the ukulele or one of them, and I'll just start worshiping. And you know, when I spend time in worship, God speaks to me. Another thing is through this right here, the Word. Now, I do believe, I don't know about whether you do or not, but I do believe God speaks sometimes in an audible voice. But the majority of time, I believe God speaks through this right here. God gives you a word. God gives you something to do. And in conclusion, I read a source that says, I will grow in patience as I allow the Spirit of God to govern my reactions. I will grow in patience as I allow the Spirit of God to govern my reactions. In other words, don't do it yourself. Let God's Spirit lead you the right way. And Paul says, love is patient, just as Rachel read. Patience is a characteristic of love. We demonstrate the patience of God this way. How we love one another, how we handle situations, and how we wait. Finally, our actions while we wait then demonstrate true patience. What areas in your life are you praying for God to give you patience in? There's nothing wrong with praying that God allows you to be patient in circumstances and situations. I mean, we laugh at the thought of asking God for patience. But you know, when we ask God for patience, that gives God an opportunity to teach us how to grow in Him. We can't grow if we don't go through things. You can't grow if it's given to you all at one time. I had foster children at one time in our lives. They wanted stuff all the time. And I said, well, have you ever thought about doing chores to help you know the responsibility of working, doing something, and then we reward you for your good work by giving you things? And it's true. Well, let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. Lord, I pray that whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever things that we are going through, Father, I pray for the patience of God to come into our lives. Father, bless everyone here today, Father. Speak into their lives a blessing, Lord, and help them know that it comes from you. For it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And if you look at me, I appreciate you. I appreciate the way that you minister to and shepherd this church from your seat week in and week out. Like David, you sing like David, but that comes because you steward your life as he did, specifically in this instance on the backside of the hill with the sheep in the shadows where nobody saw. And the gift that comes from you is because of the way you live your life week in and week out. And appreciate that about you. The heart, as you know, of this congregation is that we are all ministers of the gospel in every place that we are sent. And so I want you to extend your hands to Ed as we commission and send him again into the workforce. Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you have brought our brother Ed to the west side of the state with all the traffic and all the headaches and all the chaos. But Lord, in his obedience to go where he did not want to go, we were the direct beneficiaries. Lord, thank you that you saw us fit to receive him. Lord, thank you for the gifts that he brings as a minister of the gospel in this community. Lord, we ask that you would fill him afresh with the power of your Spirit today, not just the gifts, but the character to steward the gifts which you have given him. Lord, thank you that you have given him the strength to endure through hardship and not give up, that others would know you. And Lord, I pray that as he works with his clients and works with those who are seeking to find jobs and seeking their purpose, Lord, that your presence would be evident in their lives as well.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Yes, let's give. Thank you, Ed.